It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Parkinson's disease is one of the fastest growing neurological disorders in the country, and it affects more than 20,000 people here in Wisconsin.
There's no cure for the disease, and its causes are not completely understood, but a range of genetic and environmental factors play a role.
Last year, a bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers introduced a bill that would create a database to better track the disease in our state and help researchers identify where it occurs. Governor Evers expressed support for it, but the legislation didn't advance.
Stephanie Johnson is the founder and director of the Parkinson's Disease Alliance of Wisconsin. Her organization has been working to get a registry established. Stephanie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you, Kate, so much for having me.
And Dr. Rachel Dolan is a neurology and lifestyle medicine physician and movement disorder specialist. She is the principal medical advisor for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Dr. Dolan, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stephanie, starting with you, you know this illness up close. Your husband, Rick, lived with Parkinson's for more than a decade before passing away in 2023. And then weeks later, you get the diagnosis. How did your life change after Rick was diagnosed?
Yeah, Rick lived with Parkinson's for 13 years, and we had been married for 34 years. And during his Parkinson's journey, one of the things that became really clear to me is how important it is to be present and to be present with those who are most important to you. And when he was close to the end of his life and I started noticing symptoms in myself, it really, I think, forced me to look at how am I being present in my own life? Because as a care partner for so many years, of course, the focus was so much on Rick. And I think as care partners, it's not uncommon for us to lose ourselves in the caring. And when I was diagnosed 3 months after he died, I mean, it was the phrase that I use is it felt like a cruel joke of the universe in so many ways. And I think it, in a way, forced me to really look at how am I caring for myself and what can I do to take care of myself in a way that will help me live fully with Parkinson's. It wasn't something I wanted to do necessarily, but it also was a big wake-up call for me.
At that point, how were you living your life and what did you change?
So, I mean, shortly after Rick died, of course, I was grieving.
Sure.
And in that very raw grief, actually, the month after he died, I fell and broke my foot, which I think was a weird universe message of saying slow down and be kind to yourself. I mean, I couldn't walk for 6 weeks. And so it was a sort of concrete way of taking care. And then when I was able to do more physical activity, the way I chose to practice self-care was focusing on exercise and being in community with people. So really focusing on like fostering relationships that were important to me because I knew that that was healing. And I also did some very intense grief work. So practicing grief work and doing some grief workshops and mindful grieving. I think that mindfulness practice was really important for my healing.
Dr. Dolan, can you, from a medical perspective, give us a sense of what Parkinson's disease is and what causes it?
Many people think of Parkinson's as simply a tremor or shaking, and the reality is it's so much more than that. So we call it a movement disorder because it certainly does cause movement symptoms in many people, not everybody. It causes tremor or shaking, also slowness and stiffness, but there's a lot more to Parkinson's than meets the eye. And those are what we call the non-movement symptoms or the things that we can't see from the outside. That can be everything from loss of sense of smell to mood changes and sleep changes, even constipation. So we think of Parkinson's as a brain disease because it impacts a brain chemical called dopamine. that helps us move and helps us get motivated and helps with our thinking. But Parkinson's, as you can hear from many of the symptoms I mentioned, affects the whole body. So it's a brain disease, but it's really a whole body disease. The important thing to remember about Parkinson's is that it's really different in everybody. So there are a lot of similarities in the symptoms, but exactly which symptoms come on, how those show themselves in your life, and how they change over time is really different from person to person. We have a saying in the community that when you've met one person with Parkinson's, you've met one person with Parkinson's. Because again, it's just so different from person to person. There's also not yet a cure for Parkinson's. We do have a lot of treatments that can help with a lot of the symptoms of Parkinson's, but we don't yet have a way to slow or stop that progression over time. Research is really active in this area and really promising and moving forward, but that's the reality of today.
Are there theories as to why there are more and more cases of Parkinson's?
So there are about 1 million people in the United States who are living with Parkinson's today, about 10 million worldwide. But those numbers are expected to double by the year 2040. So, you know, 14 years from now. One of the main reasons is because age is the biggest risk factor for Parkinson's. So getting older increases our risk for Parkinson's. And of course, our population is aging. In general, though, researchers believe that in any person with Parkinson's, the cause is this really complex combination of not just getting older, but also the genetics, the information that we're born with, as well as our environment. And our environment is everything we eat, where we work, where we live, what we're exposed to in the air. And it's really, again, this complex combination of genes influencing how we respond to our environment and our environment influencing how we respond to how our genes work.
Stephanie, was there a point when managing Rick's care became too much for you? Because you talked about the support system of being around family and other, you know, support mechanisms. When did you see that change?
That's a really good question. And I think to piggyback on what Dr. Dolan was sharing, most people think of Parkinson's as the movement changes, and so did I when Rick was first diagnosed. I did not appreciate the non-motor symptoms, and those were the most challenging, quite honestly. The things that Rick was experiencing included the non-motor symptoms, things like visual hallucinations, which were bothersome, and then they became scarier as his disease progressed. Also, things like precipitous drops in his blood pressure, where his blood pressure would just tank to like 60s over 40s, 70s over 50s, and he would then fall. We had a dog, and I would go for a walk, and I would think, am I going to come home and find Rick on the floor? I mean, there were, you know, this persistence of living in a state of hypervigilance that became extremely stressful and taxing. And over the course of between 2021 and 22, he had a series of hospitalizations. And with each hospitalization, his function would drop and never bounce back up to baseline. And as we moved through 2022 into 22, we noticed that his care needs were becoming more challenging to manage, and had a conversation with his primary care physician. How do you know when it's time? And his physician said, let's talk about it, because when the caring and the caregiving starts to impact the relationship, then it's time to think about more support. And so we toured assisted living communities and selected one together. And Rick went to a community in the Madison area called Attic Angel Community. And that really allowed me to be present for him and to be his wife and to be with him in a way that felt more peaceful and not that sort of hypervigilant state. And quite honestly, in that hypervigilant state, I didn't feel like I was being the caregiver that I wanted to be for him. I was irritable and anxious and impatient, and that's not who I wanted to be. And so this assistance allowed me to be the care partner that I really wanted to be and was committed to being.
We're talking about Parkinson's disease and the burden it takes on family caretakers. In Wisconsin, there is an effort to create a Parkinson's disease registry or a tracking database. We have Dr. Rachel Dolan with us, the principal medical advisor for the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and Stephanie Johnson, founder and director of the Parkinson's Disease Alliance of Wisconsin. Dr. Dolan, there is efforts here in Wisconsin to create a Parkinson's disease registries. How helpful is a register when in researching Parkinson's?
As I mentioned, we estimate that there are about 1 million people in the United States living with Parkinson's, but those are estimates. So the better we can get at actually understanding the true prevalence, how many people are actually living with this disease, how many people are getting diagnosed each year, the more we can get that concrete data, the more we will be able to advance research and care advocacy. So better policies for people who are living with Parkinson's, more information on environmental factors that may be playing a role. And the more and more, again, objective data we can gather through things like registries, the more we can advocate more effectively.
Stephanie, your organization, the Parkinson's Disease Alliance of Wisconsin, is advocating for a disease registry. You're working on this. What can you fill us in here? Why do you want this?
Yeah. The idea for a registry came up shortly after I was diagnosed when I learned that Rick and I are two of six people in a neighborhood we used to live in on the southwest side of Madison who all have a Parkinson's disease diagnosis. And when I learned that, I thought, this has got to be more than a coincidence. It felt like a disease cluster. And I reached out to local public health colleagues who referred me to the state division of public health and asked for their help in looking into this more. And they said they didn't have the capacity to do that because we don't have a disease registry for Parkinson's disease. We have a cancer registry and they can do cancer surveillance, but we don't have a Parkinson's registry. And so my thinking went to, well, what does it take to create one? And did some research and learned that the Michael J. Fox Foundation has a state government relations division that has helped states introduce legislation to pass bills and creating registries. So I partnered with them and started the process of meeting with legislators, meeting with researchers on campus, meeting with essentially anyone who was willing to listen and hear about the need for the registry, and received tremendous support and found two champions in the state capitol who helped draft a bill to introduce legislation. And the Rick Johnson Parkinson's Disease Registry bill was introduced on October 1st. Representative Lisa Subek and Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara were the co-sponsors. And the bill was sent to committee, and we didn't pass the bill in this legislative session, which, you know, I understand it's challenging to pass a bill in the first session it's introduced. And the Alliance right now is really focused on continuing to build our coalition, continuing to network and outreach to have a stronger bill in the next legislative session. So I feel in my bones that it will pass. I know that it will. It's a matter of time.
A matter of time. And Dr. Dolan, you know, registers, they can also observe, as you mentioned, environment, everyday life. Certainly studies, you know, test interventions. Do you think both have a place in trying to better understand this disease?
Absolutely. They really work in complement with each other. So, for example, when our research helps us see that something like pesticides, a paraquat, are linked to an increased risk for Parkinson's, our advocates, which include not only policy arms at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, but thousands and thousands of advocates like Stephanie, can go to their representatives and discuss why it's so important to ban something like paraquat. So our research helps inform our advocacy efforts. It's also a way, and Stephanie was alluding to a lot of this, that people can really take action. And Stephanie mentioned a lot about being present. I'd imagine, Stephanie, all of the work that you're doing is a way that you stay present in your life with Parkinson's and outside of life with Parkinson's. But being involved in research, participating in trials, advocating for important policies for Parkinson's, these are all ways that people and families who live with Parkinson's say that they are able to take action and take control in a disease where a lot feels out of your control.
Does that track with you?
Oh, I was just thinking that very thought. When everything feels out of control, I think we search for things to hold on to and to sort of find that anchor or that stabilizing pole, and also trying to find sense of meaning and purpose in the sort of disbelief in all of what's happening in our lives. And for me, that advocacy space has been, I think, a lifesaver for me in moving through my grief, but then also managing this new journey that I'm on. And it's a way for me to honor my late husband and also to help the greater good. And I'm so grateful to be able to do that and to work in the policy advocacy space.
You know, April is Parkinson's Awareness Month. What could the federal government or the state of Wisconsin do to help families, you know, care for people with Parkinson's?
So the work that we can do, you know, on a state level is, I always encourage people to meet with their elected officials. I mean, they work for us. I have found them to be very open and welcoming. They want to hear what's important to their constituents. And I think that that's, you know, a first step. And if people are shy about actually meeting, you can always write to them and enlist their support for legislation like the registry bill, and to also support things like, you know, perhaps environmental policies that would be more healthy for our communities.
And perhaps to share their own story with the
disease.
Beautiful,
yes. Yeah, I think sharing stories really speaks to the heart. And that was one thing that I was coached when I first started on this path is, how do I talk with my legislators? And the very sage advice was, just tell your story and be authentic. And that has gone a long way. Yeah.
Well, Stephanie and Dr. Dolan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for having me as well.
Stephanie Johnson is the founder and director of the Parkinson's Disease Alliance of Wisconsin, and she is living with the disease. And Dr. Rachel Dolan is a neurology and lifestyle medicine physician and movement disorder specialist. She is principal medical advisor for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. More information on resources for families dealing with Parkinson's is at WPR.org.